Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us. My name is Daryl Urbanski, your host, as always. And today we are joined by Dr. Stephen Roy Biggles Condino, a dynamic business growth leader with over 11 years at the helm of Manpower for Advertising Services Agency, or MASA, Inc. As VP of Business Development, he's transformed the company, achieving a staggering 300% growth. Beyond corporate leadership, Dr. Biggles is an entrepreneur at heart, founding ventures like WoodPH, the country's leading bamboo sunglasses and watches brand. With a doctorate from the University of Liverpool, an MBA from Ateneo de Manila, plus Regis University, he's not just a practitioner, but an academic, sharing insights at top universities around the world. I've asked Dr. Biggles to join us here today to share his story, plus talk about business strategies, entrepreneurship, and innovation. So thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
Hey, Daryl. Good day to everyone. It's great to be here. And I heard a lot about these interviews. And the intent really of these interviews eventually to inspire others, the future leaders of today. Right. So I'm great. It's great to be here, Daryl.
Yeah, it's an honor and pleasure to have you. And before we jump into your accomplishments and things you've learned and lessons you like to pass on, I always like to ask, how did you even get started in business? Is this kind of are your parents in business? Is this like the family thing? Is everybody into entrepreneurship? Or are you breaking the mold?
Yeah, starting a business eventually, well, there are a lot of reasons or basis why I started doing business. Eventually, when I was growing up, I saw from my mom, who is known as Miss D, how she eventually handles her own company or her own business. And ever since I was growing up, I saw so much potential, and my passion and my interest dwell so much on how business works, most importantly in the context of the Philippines. So with regards to your question, I think it starts on when you are growing up and how you see things differently from those people who influence you so much to the point that you take those as an icebreaker for you to think and may consider or may not consider it as a direction for you.
Yeah, okay. No, I get it. So what was your first foray into business? Did you help run a family sari shop? Were you helping with your mom's business? Did you get thrown in at a young age?
Yes. In fact, even after high school, I was invited to do a part-time job at a company where she founded. And she told me that since it's summer and you may want to consider some options aside from just having a break at home, why don't I train you as a supervisor or perhaps an in-store promoter who eventually checks on these different supermarkets within Metro Manila, the Philippines, and assess the performance of these in-store promoters to comply with the requirements of what your client wants us to do. These experiences enables me to see differently that human behavior cannot actually be predicted depending on what satisfies them. So that point of view, actually it's a very early stage or very young age, gave me a different perspective about how businesses function or how businesses perform. So before I became the vice president for business development, I started from the grassroots. I started from a very low level, not even on a supervisory level, but rather on a frontliner level that you actually, in our business, in our line of business, we are actually directly engaging with customers who eventually are your consumers. So I think that is the starting point where I began my business journey, even before I was about to take up my bachelor's degree before.
I love that. So really boots on ground, pressing palms with customers. Just even that experience alone, right? They say some of the best business people have door-to-door experience because it's that experience of being out there shaking hands, like understanding what the business is. And I think that's incredibly it's hard to replace. A lot of universities, this isn't to throw shade at any university, but it's hard for a university to teach that kind of hands-on experience, especially at such a young age. So what was it? Was it easy for you? What were some of the biggest struggles that you faced earlier on?
It was very difficult for me. Most importantly, that you don't have any experience yet. I think that's the greatest trial. What you learn from the school or from the university is only 30% of what you go and do in the real world. It doesn't guarantee success. Even me, myself, I'm a doctor of business, but not everything I learned from the university enables you or gives you the guaranteed success 101%. The rest of the 70% in terms of making you a better decision maker will come from your experience or becoming more street smart in relation to what's happening with the real world. So that. It's not really because you are an expert by theory. It means that you can produce outstanding results. Mm. It will only give you a framework or a guideline of what you're about to do or what you plan to do in the next months or next few months, years, or what have you.
I love that. You said my favorite word there, results. So I've never really known participation awards my whole life. And so I don't understand. I understand some of that mentality when it comes to small children, but when it comes to adults, nothing in our life is really participation. The girl you want or the husband that you want, the job that you want, the pay raise that you want, the house that you want, all this stuff is it's results and outcome based. So I really appreciate that. So you say only 30% of what you need to know you learn in university. What do you feel are some of the fundamental pillars that people need to learn?
Eventually, the reason why or the intent why we need to study is for you to appreciate, to filter out relevant pieces of information that may be useful for you that you can use even after studying. So for an example, you don't have to memorize everything because to be honest with you and all our listeners, I'm also a professor at De La Salle University, which is actually one of the top business schools in the Philippines. So I'm currently teaching under the Department of Management and Organization. But I'm not teaching there full-time. I'm teaching there as a part-time professor. But I have one of the highest professional lecturer ranks at the university. Now, why am I teaching? When I teach at the university, I bring in the knowledge and most importantly, the experience that students could get from me so that they have to realize that it's not all by the books. It has to be coming from experience. So that's why whenever we make decisions, it has to come from theory and practice, which is a combination of praxis. Mm-hmm. So that is something that one key takeaway that this interview may be considered for future entrepreneurs or even for students at hand, that you have to combine theory and practice for you to be able to address the gap between mm-hmm. what's reiterated or stated from the book and what is actually being applied based on the real world practice.
I love that. You make me think of Karl Popper. I bring this up a lot. I think that business can be a relatively scientific endeavor. And Karl Popper talks about the formula for the scientific method. That's P1 plus TS plus EE equals P2. And so problem one plus temporary solution TS plus EE eliminate errors. And that leads you to problem two, or you're still at problem one, but you've learned new things. And so now you update your temporary solution. And that's almost like what I talk about. You start off with theory and practice, and through the theory and practice, you eliminate the errors, which is part of why you have to do the studying. So you have a base level of knowledge. And through this iterative process, you hobble your way forward. Would you agree with that to a certain extent?
Yes, Darrell, I agree with you and concur with what you said. Remember that we have to inform the theory leading from practice that there are some pieces of theory that are not no longer relevant. Mm. The problem with theory in itself is its applicability. However, there is a saying that theory without practice, meaning it has no sense, it's irrelevant. But practice without theory, you will never know if you are still doing the right thing or not, isn't it? So they have to complement from one another so that you can make a better decision as you move forward, either with your business or with your personal endeavors.
Which is perfect. It fits in with the eliminate errors. Because how do we eliminate errors? It's through experimentation, observation, discussion, debate, and gathering from a wide data set, which includes, like you mentioned, collaborating with other people and sharing results. So what would you recommend to someone that's either starting out in business right now or struggling?
I got a lot of questions. This is actually my 12th or 13th time that I was asked that question. And I was even interviewed by several media channels already in the Philippines. But whenever someone asks me that question, I always ask them again. I throw back the question to them. What is your passion? What is your interest? Because at the end of the day, if you love what you do as a result of what you want to become or as a result of what you envision yourself to happen in the next 3 to 5 years, it must come from what you love doing. It's not because you're about to earn that much. Mm. Earning is a result of what you love doing. Mm. So most of our fellow Kababayans, whenever we ask them, they want to be rich. They want right. to be mayaman in Tagalog. That's what we call them. It has to be different. It has to come from the question of, I love what I do. As a result of what I love doing, I have money as a result of that passion. Mm-hmm. So it has to come up to the question of what makes you interested in doing a business and mm-hmm. what is your passion. So mm-hmm. that's the first.
I love that.
The second one is there has to be a story, and that story will enable you to break barriers that you could not imagine of. For an example, when I started Wood in 2019, no one believed in the brand. Because no one believed in the brand, they think that it's going to last for only a year because COVID-19 pandemic was about to just came in the Philippines in 2020. So when everyone else was on a lockdown, as a result of my first reason, which is my passion, in my interest, I never stopped believing on the brand, even if my other partners who was with me when we co-founded the company left me because they think that it's not profitable, it's not sustainable, and it's not going to last in the next 3 to 5 years. Mm. So it goes back to the first response to your question, which support my second response. So what happened was, when everyone was on a lockdown, I was knocking on every hotel in the Philippines, but not just in any hotel, but 5-star and 4-star hotels who can be part of our story. And of that story, which is my second response to you, where we bring in the campaign that for every sunglasses we sell, we plant one tree. And mm-hmm. we made that happen together with our partner. The credit goes to Haribon Foundation, who we actually started working with in terms of our tree planting initiatives. And that story makes us ahead of everyone else. And that is actually a game changer. Mm. So when you start a business, you have to have a story similar to what we had. So that those are the two important fundamentals that one may consider when they're about to start doing business.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And I love that you mentioned that. So we've done, I think I mentioned it to you before we did the interview. I had 10 research assistants help me go through all the academic literature on business success to try to figure out what are the common denominators? What are the core critical success factors? And we discovered 8. And one of them is self-efficacy, which you talk about is your passion. Because part of being effective means motivation's tied into it. It's not the only thing. But so people think it's just product market fit, but there has to be product market founder fit as well. Because, you know, it's going to take iterations. You're going to face challenges. And if you're not passionate about it, if it's not something you care about, you're just in it for the money. You're going to constantly change the next shiny object. Now, I love that you talk about a story and you actually talked about corporate social responsibility. I was surprised by this. Not really, but I was just surprised. We actually found a correlation between corporate social responsibility and profitability, that there is a connection that people want to vote with their dollars. They don't just want, if they feel that they can be doing good while doing business they intended to do anyhow, that is, it improves profitability and likelihood of success and outcome for a business. And what is corporate social responsibility? It's community development, it's ethical practices, and of course, it's conformity to legal processes, right? You can't circumvent the law. People don't like that. So I love that. And story, so wrapping it in a story is really important for marketing strategy, it sounds like, as well. So now what, talking about your story in that, now obviously you've gone through a lot of growth, right? In your own experience and different education, what were some of the biggest challenges or hurdles that you faced in your own personal career?
Yeah, that's a very good question, Daryl. It depends on which aspect are you looking at. If you're looking at being an entrepreneur, or you're looking at working in a family corporation, or perhaps working in a corporate world. Because I used to work with corporate for a year, from Jardine Schindler. And working in corporate, it's completely different from working in a family corporation. Or the third one is also different from having your own business. So these three are actually related to one another, which is the common denominator of achieving results. But the culture of working in corporate, a very structured culture, can enable you to perhaps adapt to improving your family business, or perhaps about to enhance your own company as an entrepreneur. So I think one of the greatest challenges, going back to your question, that I had experience was, how do you actually bring in the best practice in the family business or being an entrepreneur, given that you are not sure if the direction that you plan to make as a result of your decision is the best possible decision moving forward? So that's the first one. The second one would be uncertainties. But at the end of the day, when you are about to do business, you have to make risk. And that's the only way for you if you will know if you will succeed or not. Most individuals, particularly in the context of the Philippines, are actually afraid to make risk because they do not have contingency plans if the result of that risk would be a failure. So that is actually the second struggle that I had. But at the end of the day, we are leaders. We are trailblazers. We create our own path so that others may follow. That's why I believe, Daryl, to share with you and also to our listeners, that the intent of leaders is to create more leaders and not to create more followers, quoting Raylene 2012, so that we can eventually achieve a very leaderful organization where there is collaboration, leaders are compassionate, we try to delegate our responsibilities by empowering others, and we make collective decisions. Therefore, these individuals will become happy, motivated, and engaged. So those are the responses of how do you address those struggles in terms of my personal growth.
Yeah, so I'm hearing you blending, again, to bring it into the research that I've done and my framework, is still self-efficacy, helping people by creating leaders. Leadership skills from our research is really about self-awareness, communication, cooperation skills, emotional intelligence skills, and adaptability. That's the leadership part. But that you have to be flexible. That's the strategic planning. You have to have a plan of where you want to go and adapt. And that's in itself, the adaptability is a leadership skill in of itself. So it sounds like you, for you, it's a real big culture on developing your staff, the training of your staff, investing in people. Because I think, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it sounds in a family business, people can be entrenched, right? It can be tough to change the culture that may be pre-existing for better or for worse, right? Whereas in a corporation, as you mentioned, there's structures in place, but some of those, depending on the size of the corporation, some of those as well could be legacy structures that maybe aren't the best. And then when you have your own venture and you're free to paint the canvas as you see fit, you really have a blank canvas to use the best of everything and take those learnings back to everything. And it sounds like for you, especially, you've got a large, I forget, 2,000, 6,000 staff on you, or maybe more.
1,000? Yes, we currently manage around 14 to 15,000 employees now in the Philippines for the Masa business.
Which is massive. And there's no way you as an individual can be super
powerful. Yes, we achieve that because we try to maintain our very strong corporate culture. I think that's number one. We have that corporate culture that is very strong, that is very familial or family oriented, but they feel that they are still big part of a bigger picture, even if they are anywhere else in the Philippines. So that culture, the Masa way, enables us to, it's like our RARA, our motto, which says one team, one Masa, one family, the Masa way. And because of that cultural experience that I have established together with the rest of the management committee in 2013, we continue to accelerate our growth and even surpass all the challenges, even the COVID-19 pandemic. Right. In fact, that experience leading from that very strong culture is also, or was also, the basis for me to create that culture, same culture in Wood. That's why we have that experience, the Wood difference, whereas people get to feel differently when they are part of being part of a bigger picture on sustainability. So that's why our partners are working with us as we go along moving forward in the Philippines.
So how you talked about that you've got, so you shared your motto, and I think that's important. How do you approach professional development and continuous learning within the organization? Because you have to translate that saying, that raw saying, into actionable, meaningful actions within the company. So it's how are you?
Yeah, that's a good question. Eventually, when you begin with that mission, with what you plan to do, the greatest challenge, again, is how you apply that. So we are able to apply that by putting value in terms of empowering our employees, consistent evaluation of our employees by means of calibrating, perhaps let's start with the basic rewards. We give them team buildings. We enhance our HR department Aside from that, we are continuously improving our systems and processes by putting in service level agreements or SOPs, or standard operating procedures, and giving them extra other benefit. For an example, in our own office, we are one of the very first offices or office in the Philippines to have our very own Starbucks within our office. So we are going to have our own Starbucks. It's actually being constructed now. That's part of the change we're doing this year. And we are going to cover a portion of the cost per cup for just these employees we have in our office.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that these basic things, even if they don't directly translate to the Masawi, they feel that these changes enables them to be part of a bigger picture. And when they feel that they are valued in the organization, they will stay. And even if someone offers them a higher compensation compared to what they got or they received from us, they would still stay because this is one of the very few companies in the Philippines where they feel that they are part, again, of a bigger picture.
So you really have a culture of family and taking back. I think that is kind of lost in this day and age. There's a lot of companies that aren't investing in people and they're not really taking a perspective from the employee point of view and seeing human resources as a resource. So so you guys are an advertising agency as well, right?
Yes.
Like you with so many different clients and industries and niches, is there a one trick pony?
Okay, so we are working with different companies. I will not disclose those companies for the benefit of non-disclosure agreement, but we're working with the best companies in the Philippines.
Right.
To give you an overview, one of the things that makes it very difficult at the beginning was there is a dedicated team handling company A, there's a dedicated team handling company B, and another team is handling company C. Now, how do you maintain the similarity and get the common denominator of all of these differences? Which team has its own requirements, deliverables to their respective clients?
Right.
It goes back to the corporate culture of what we say, even on our signature and our email signature of one team, one masa, one family, the Masaway. That context enables every individual that despite I'm handling company A or you're handling company B, it doesn't really even matter because we're just under one roof.
Right.
So that's number one. So there has to be a common denominator instilling these teams that they are still working all together. We may provide either a product or a service, which is quite different from one another. But at the end of the day, you are still Masa. So it doesn't make any difference.
So how do you make sure, what's the current structure in terms of how you guarantee quality assurance for all the different clients? Because again, with 15,000 staff, it sounds like you're really trying to imbue like your SOPs, like follow like your internal documentation. You're trying to get everybody to follow the Masaway. And what I love about it is it almost refers people to the SOP manual. Because if they don't know what the Masaway is, they got to go find it out.
Because it's not that you can see in the contract. Because these are things that you don't see. But these are things that you get to feel because these are more on emotions.
Right.
So now, how do we actually define the organization despite of how big the organization is? What we do is we do weekly PDCA or alignment meetings internally and externally. So we work with our partners, our marketing partners who are our clients on a weekly basis. We always get in touch with them. And we also have an internal alignment with regards to are we on track with regards to the deliverables that we have to set or we have to meet. So again, it goes back to your argument, Daryl, that constant collaboration is actually one of the critical success factors for an organization to be successful. Because if there is no constant collaboration, regardless of what is the level or the ranking of a person within the organization, then that is where the crisis will about to be start or will begin.
I love that. So again, a lot of people hate meetings, but obviously they're necessary to make sure that people are communicating and collaborating. What are some of the biggest mistakes that you see people making? Either you can talk about inside Masa or just in general, like with people that come to you and you're consulting.
I think one of the issues that most companies or individuals get to face when they approach me is complacency in terms of results. So what happens is, to quote my mom, she said, that we are only good with our yesterday's performance. It doesn't mean that you can still be successful or what you had yesterday will still be the same as today's.
Yeah.
Therefore, consistency must at all costs be in the picture. Have to listen very carefully with regards to feedbacks because listening is more powerful than speaking. When we listen, we learn, and we translate that as an experience to make a better decision moving forward. Number three is it's more motivational to the point that even if no one else is believing you, you have to continue and do more and be more so that you cannot just benefit yourself, but as a result of that decision of being more or doing more, people will benefit from you. Need to put others as well, because when we take good care of others, they will take good care eventually of those most important people who matters in our business. I think those are the three important challenges that I have experienced or I have anticipated so far whenever people are approaching me, Dariel.
I got four from you there. I wrote down consistency is critical, and then I put listening equals learning. And then I had be more, do more, which to me translates to just outwork your problems. There's a saying that I've trained with a lot. I had a martial arts school once upon a time. And as a result, I got to train with Olympians and world champions. And one of the sayings that I picked up was hard work will always beat talent when talent refuses to work hard. So I got consistency is critical. Listening equals learning. Be more, do more, outwork your problems. And then four I put was take care of others. I thought that was a great, and I think that's fantastic because all a company is a group of people helping another group of people, and they do it via a product or service. So you need to take care. I always say, even if you don't have an ethical bone in your body, even if secretly you hate humanity, but you want to have a long-term successful business, the only way you can interact with the world is with love, empathy, and compassion. For your staff, for your customers, for your vendors, for yourself. Otherwise, you won't make it long term. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I totally agree with you. Remember, when you make a decision, you have to involve everyone else in that decision. The problem with most company executives is when they make a decision, my decision is the only decision that matters.
Because
if they're the owners, they will say that it's my money, therefore I'm the only one who can make a decision. But never knew, that's what we call bounded awareness, according to Bezerman 2001.
Yep.
Bezerman said that they never knew what could be the compromise or the consequences of that thinking. Even if the money is coming from them and they are the only one making the decision, it could lead to collapse.
Yeah.
I did the research of organizations when I was doing my doctorate, Daryl, and I found out that most companies, around 60% to 70% companies in the world collapses whenever they don't try to involve everyone else in making a decision. Not just any kind of a decision, but any crucial decision that would enable the company to sustain, maintain, and even grow, if applicable.
I love that. It's very Shakespearean, because in all of Shakespeare's work, the main characters fell victim to their flaws. And so without shared decision-making, as you say, if it's like an authoritarian point of view, the flaw in their thinking, the thing they're not noticing, was the chink in the company's armor. I love that. Everything you're saying is really supporting the research. I'm loving this so much. I'm super elated right now. This is great. So what do you feel are some of the habits on a daily, weekly basis that are mission critical to be successful, to do a good job?
Okay, it depends first on what you want to do. So I try to split my personal from my professional. So personally, I make sure that I work out in the morning. Every morning, I have to. But despite of how busy your schedule is, people always ask me, Doc Biggs, how do you manage your time very well? You're doing a lot of things. I always tell them one answer, and that answer is time management. So you have 24 hours in a day, and ideally, based on research, having a 7 hours of good night's sleep. A quality of good night's sleep would suffice. You reduce that by 24 hours, you still have 16 or 17 hours, isn't it?
Right.
Now, the question is, how do you go about with your 16 or 17 hours?
Right.
So I manage my time very well, except on a Sunday, of course, because take the day off. But seriously, that's what I do every single day.
I'm the same way, 6 days on, 1 day off. If it was good enough for God, it's good enough for me. I'm with you already. Let's keep going.
Yeah. So eventually, you still have that 16 hours. You reduce an hour and a half at the gym. You have 14 hours, so you give 3 hours for yourself, including eating. Then you have 10 hours. And what do you go about with that? Of course, there's traffic, among others, right? But it's more about time management. There are two things that you have to do for you to maintain a very, not really, I'm not saying that successful life, but a key ingredient for you to keep going.
Right.
The first one is don't ignore your health. Health is wealth. You have to invest first on yourself. And then as a result of your investment on yourself, you can eventually do more, be more, and be happy. That's also based on research.
Yep.
Having a jog or a walk in the morning and doing some weightlifting might be beneficial for you. But of course, in terms of professional, you have to be engaged always with your team members, not just directly to those who work directly reporting for you, but also those who are also frontliners. You have to go around the system. Mm. You have to go all the way to the frontliners. Have a taste of what's really happening. Ask feedbacks. Are they still happy? What is the opportunity that we have to address? Because some of these employees, most importantly in the frontliners or the middle managers, may be afraid of opening up to you the challenges or opportunities that we never knew that has to be addressed.
I love this. I'm with you on every part. So our 8 critical success factors were self-efficacy, market intelligence, marketing strategy, sales strategy and skill, money management, strategic planning. I didn't mention that one. Business operations and business intelligence. That everything falls under these 8 categories, whether it's cybersecurity and all that stuff. And self-efficacy, people always ask, what's the one to rule them all? And it's what you talked about was trying to encourage and create more leaders. Self-efficacy is a really important one because if people aren't focused on the right way, if they're not communicating, cooperating properly, if they're not adaptable. So for us, self-efficacy is demonstrating specific personality traits, leadership skills, and disciplines. This is the thing that I loved. You talked about health because it's not just time management, it's energy management. That if I can only run 1 kilometer and I'm exhausted, I need to take a nap. That is my energy gas tank I bring to my day, all my meetings, everything. Now, if I snap my fingers and I can run 10 kilometers, and even now I've 10x'd my energy. So even though you might have the world's greatest schedule plan, if you don't have the energy, you can't show up at your best. Like we're doing this call at 11 a.m. I started at 5 a.m. today. My last call is at 7 p.m. I'm going to be on all day, every day. And this is not, I don't need drugs for this. It's exactly like you by taking care of your health. And so those disciplines, sleep, diet, fitness, and mental health, those are so important. So many people, it's like waste not, want not. So I just love what you talked about there. I think that is such an important and critical piece of this. This has been such a good action-packed call. What do you feel the future of things are going to be? Because we've got a lot of disruptive things that have happened from the pandemic to AI. There's geopolitical issues. There's currency wars happening. Where do you think things are going to be in 5-10 years?
I think in the next, I'm very optimistic.
Me too.
Let me begin my statement with that. And perhaps because of having that positive thinking mentality, I have always believed in the future, even if there are uncertainties, it's going to be better. Remember that leading from pandemic, these are threats that we have to convert into opportunities because these are things that we cannot control, isn't it? Restrictions have eases, and I believe that businesses are about to get back on their feet. I just came from Siargao, to be honest with you, Daryl, and I have a lot of meetings there. We're opening a new business venture. That's Coastal Grounds Cafe in front of Cloud9. It's the surfing capital of the Philippines, and I hope that you will have a time to visit there. Similar to your background, right?
I know.
But yeah. We are very aggressive in that island. We are the number one sunglasses brand in Siargao. We are opening a cafe because of an opportunity that we are very excited to grab. So, if you're talking about the future is there, but the question is, what do you do now for you to have a better tomorrow? It's not about just what I see, because what I see is doing nothing. But I think it's more about what I do now so that what I see will happen. Mm. So that's more of what I plan to envision myself as my mission to achieve my vision, Daryl.
I love that. What I do now so what I see happens, which is almost like reverse engineering your goals.
Yes, because some people are very good at what they want to happen and what do they see with for themselves, but they're not doing anything.
Right.
You have to start first with what you do now, because that consistency in terms of what you do now enables you to achieve that what for yourself.
A lot of it is overcoming yourself, because a lot of people, they have the want, but the actions don't follow. And I think this is almost, I don't want to say it's getting worse, but I think there's more threats. I always say not everything in the jungle kills you and eats you. Some things try to feed on you as much as possible. I've deleted all social media apps off my phone, just the messengers, because I felt like it was a parasite on my attention. And that was something where exactly you talk about, we only have so many hours in a day. If you wake up and you have 24 hours, 24 coins that you can invest in different areas of your life, where are all those going? So I think that's a really, so a tip here for the listeners is maybe to take, start auditing their days, make your to-do list, plan your to-do list for the day, your schedule in 30-minute blocks or even less 10-minute blocks, and then reflect on how your day went. And if you actually did invest the time in the things you thought you did, this is where we have to shape ourselves, sculpt ourselves, our attention, our moods, our behaviors, and shape and design our lives. So that way that the actions you're taking today will build to the tomorrow that you want, and understand that it will take 10,000 iterations to get there. Yeah, I love that so much. Yeah, you've been so forthcoming. This has been such a good call. I do want to be respectful of your time. Is there anything I haven't asked you that I should have asked you?
I think you were able to ask me critical points or questions rather with regards to this. But I think I would like to add on in terms of passion. Remember that passion will always be the starting point for you to make a better decision. And you have to do something about it. It's not just on a paper, but it's something that has to translate into something that could be considered as your next big thing. The second one is, despite of what people tell you or told you that you will never be successful, it's part of that trial or part of that challenge, because people will never believe in you. In fact, when I was doing business, the first people who actually helped me succeed in my business are strangers. It's not someone who are very close to me, but these are strangers who will eventually be with you to support you in terms of what you want to achieve. So I think those are two key takeaways. And I'm very happy, Daryl, that we had this call today. And I hope whatever I share with you and to our audiences will help them make better decisions, and all the best for the success for the future.
Yeah, thank you so much for your wise words and for sharing today. I know you've got thousands of people in your own company take care of, multiple businesses to manage. So thank you for carving some time and sharing with me and the audience so we can do more.
You're most welcome, Daryl. And I wish you all the best as well.